That was the Concerto Grosso No. 4 in E minor by Georg Muffat, early Baroque composer. We heard it from Ensemble 415. And now we continue the midday over here in Music Hall, where we have the assembled members of, and members of the Madison Flute Club. Is it 11 altogether? Is that what I'm seeing here on the stage? Okay, Daniel Breisach is the co-artistic director of the Madison Flute Club. And, I haven't heard of cello clubs or string bass clubs or bassoon clubs. What is it about flutes?
Flute choirs are actually quite a unique group because we have all sorts of various instruments that range from the piccolo all the way down to now, I believe, the lowest is the sub-hyper bass flute.
Oh, I can't wait to hear more about that one.
Yeah.
And, what do you have there? That looks like a pretty much in-between one.
What I'm holding right now is a curved head alto flute.
Mm-hmm.
The first piece that we're going to play features two alto flutes.
Just two alto flutes?
Just two alto flutes.
And what kind of harmonics do you get when you're playing just two flutes? Do things happen that aren't necessarily, clear on the score?
So occasionally, when you play certain intervals, you still get the same kind of like overtones or difference tones that you would when two C flutes are playing, or even more evident is when two piccolos are playing.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So the higher the instrument, the more evident it becomes.
Yeah.
Okay. And this piece that you're going to be playing is called Meditations and Memories, and it's all of the music that we're going to be hearing is actually contemporary, right?
Correct.
Contemporary music. And the first two pieces will be live, and then we'll be hearing from a couple of CDs that feature your guest today. So, Meditations and Memories, what does it bring to the flute literature?
If you don't mind, I'd like to ask our guest artist, Peter Sheridan, to elaborate on that.
Peter Sheridan comes from?
I come all the way from Australia. I'm living there now, Norman. Yeah, and thank you for having me on the show.
Did you come all the way up here from Australia just to participate in this?
I did. I was doing a bit of touring in Canada, and I'm finishing up in Los Angeles, so it's great to take these instruments out of the box and give them a blow.
That sounds kind of Australian right there. What do you find in this piece, Meditations and Memories?
I actually found this piece on the internet, believe it or not.
Many years ago.
I've connected with Stanley M. Hoffman. He's a composer in the Boston area and quite an accomplished publisher as well for ECS. And this is just a beautiful setting for the two alto flutes, and they're sort of going to sing a pastoral lyrical song.
So this will be Peter and Danielle playing this Meditations and Memories by Stanley M. Hoffman.
Thank you.
Meditations and Memories by Stanley M. Hoffman. Danielle, I know you're changing flutes there. You're going to have to commute over to this other microphone here on stage. But once you've done that, what's the advantage of that curved flute? I mean, literally, if you out there imagine a straight flute and then the last several inches just bend back over double, what's that about?
So the curved head alto, I know you can't see me on the radio, but I'm quite short. I'm almost 5'3", and my wingspan is not quite as long as the average human being's. So the curved head allows me to play the alto more comfortably without having to reach my left arm so far across my body. There is a drawback to the curved head in that it is a little bit harder to tune the notes as you go throughout the entire register of the entire range of the instrument. So
it's really just for performer convenience.
Yes.
Do they do that with the bigger ones also, the bigger flutes?
The bass flutes.
Sure enough.
Yep. Yeah, they curve the head joint on the bass flutes. However, with the regular curved head bass flutes, they still do present a problem for some performers between the weight of the instrument and also the reach of the instrument. So they've now designed new bass flutes that have a T head joint that are played upright instead of off to the side.
Wow, so there's quite a number of different kinds of flutes.
Yeah.
That typically you wouldn't see in an orchestra, I'm guessing.
No, typically you would not see anything lower than an alto flute in an orchestra, and even an alto flute is quite rare.
That is quite an instrument that Peter's holding back there. It's about as long as a didgeridoo.
I'm going to let him introduce
and
this.
And it doubles back, too. Quite seriously. I mean, if I may say so without sounding disparaging, it looks like plumbing. You know, it's got the elbow joint in it and all that. But in fact, it's got two bends in it. What do you have there, Peter?
This is a contrabass flute, and it was developed around 1980s, and it was specifically developed for the flute ensemble. American universities started growing at an extraordinary rate in music departments, especially flutists, and many universities found that they had between 30 and 40, even 50 flute players, and they didn't know what to do with them. And so we were leaders in devising this orchestra, if you will, as Daniel said, from piccolo right down to these larger instruments. And this contrabass flute plays two octaves lower than our normal C flute, and it plays the same range roughly as a cello in the orchestra.
It is about 5 feet long to the first bend, and then you've got another foot plus for the second bend, and then just as much for that third segment.
Correct. So over 8 feet at least.
Does it take more wind to fuel something like that?
It takes more quantity, but you release the air slower. Yeah.
And so you're going to be playing in this ensemble, you're going to be playing this piece with that flute?
Correct. I'm going to play kind of the string bass part, or if you would want to call it down south, the jug part.
Okay, well, we'll be listening for that. But this is the second of our two live pieces for this hour, and it's going to bring in the entire group here of 11, and it's called Ponsertrain, which I assume refers to the lake down by New Orleans, and it's just supposed to evoke that in some way. So this is the Madison Flute Club, all 11 of them here on stage with Ponsertrain, and the composer for this is Valerie Coleman.
Thank you.
That was Ponsor Train by Valerie Coleman, played by the Madison Flute Club, members of it. It's not the whole club, though, right? Is this the whole club?
No, actually, this is just the Chamber Ensemble. We are a group that was formed in 2012, and we are the folks who committed to learning harder rep that was kind of created, composed for smaller ensembles. Our actual complete membership ranges to about 35 members. 30, 35 members.
They ever play all at the same time?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, well, that's something to look forward to on a future date. Speaking of looking forward, we have a quiz question to get to right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back now in Music Hall with the Madison Flute Club and, of course, our 12:30 quiz question, just a bit past its time. First, the review of yesterday's question, which went like this. So far as we know, the last word he heard was man-trap. And that would be Abraham Lincoln at Ford's Theater 150 years ago. Last night, the play Our American Cousin, John Wilkes Booth waited for the laugh line to do the deed with his derringer. And the line was, "That ought to take care of you, you sockdologizing old man-trap." And then, as they say, the rest is history. And it seems particularly appropriate in this setting of Music Hall, building built in 1876, and we're in here just us on stage, the only audience being out there in Radio Land, and it's just us and the ghost light there. So it's very atmospheric in here, I have to say. And today being sort of the other half of that 150th anniversary, we have another Lincoln question for you. It goes like this. This statue of Lincoln was controversial because some believed that it had the image of a Confederate general hidden in it. It's a monumental statue, I can tell you that. So you tell us which statue, which of the many Lincoln statues it is, and maybe you'll win the prize today. This statue, monumental statue of Abraham Lincoln, was controversial back in the 20s because some believed that it had the image of a Confederate general hidden in it. That's our question for today, and you've got about 22 minutes to come up with the answer to that one. Get it right, as I say, you might win the prize. You can email your answers to us, as usual, at midday@wpr.org, or you can phone 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Mary Kate. We'll see who wins from among all correct respondents. And now back to the Madison Flute Club and their guest from Down Under, Peter Sheridan. And welcome back.
Thank you, Norman. It's great to be here.
The name of this CD we're going to be hearing from is Below. Does that refer to Down Under?
Yes, well, a little bit of both. Below is Down Under, but Below is also, we have a note on our flutes called Middle C, and it's the middle of the piano. It's the lowest note we can play on the C flute. So these flutes basically function below that line. So it's really okay. Notes that are in the bass clef.
Significant doubly. And what about this elegy by Bruce Lawrence?
It's a lovely, mournful, sort of sorrowful piece of music. Australian composer, very interesting. His father was a very famous painter, and he grew up in a very musical and artistic household. And then he moved to England for several years and made music there and composed, and then decided to come back to Australia and live out the rest of his days. He heard me play a recital once and was so moved by the instrument, I actually played this piece on the recital, that he wrote a concerto for me called Lyric Concerto for contrabass, flute, and small string orchestra. And the day I premiered it, he actually passed away. So it was very moving to
very
me.
Very ironic.
Yeah, to perform that piece on that day. It was very tough emotionally, but it was really, really moving as well. But I think the audiences will enjoy this piece of music.
Elegy from the CD Below.
Thank you.
That was Elegy by Bruce Lawrence for contrabass, flute, and piano. The flutist being one of our guests today here in Music Hall, Peter Sheridan, who comes from Down Under, and that was from his Below CD. And we come next to this winter piece, Winter Saraband, it's called, and this is by composer David Loeb. And how did you discover this one, Peter?
It's a very interesting story. David Loeb was my theory teacher and composition teacher at Mannes College in New York City. He lives an interesting life. Half of his year he spends in New York City, and the other half he spends in Japan, as his wife is Japanese. So the piece of music for solo bass flute has incredible overtones of shakuhachi music and Japanese lyrical pieces.
So here it is, Winter Saraband by David Loeb. Winter Saraband by Australian composer David Loeb, as played by the solo bass flute, and Peter Sheridan being the artist for the occasion. I'll repeat our 12:30 quiz question, and we'll get back with more from the Madison Flute Club right after this here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's our quiz question again. This statue of Abraham Lincoln, monumental statue, was controversial early on in the 1920s because some believed that it had the image of a Confederate general hidden in it. I mean, probably the same people who see images in pieces of toast, but nonetheless, a phenomenon of its time. And identify that statue of Lincoln, and you might win the prize today. You can email your answer to us in actually about the next 4 or 5 minutes now at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Mary Kate. And we'll see who wins that prize in just about another 11 or 12 minutes. Now, one more from the CDs that feature the flute. In this case, it's not just a flute. It is about as deep as they get, Peter. This piece that is called The Giant Began to Dance.
Yes, this is a subcontrabass flute, and it's going to be featured this Saturday. I think Danielle's just going to mention.
So this Saturday, the Madison Flute Club and the University of Wisconsin-Madison Flute Studio is hosting the 12th Annual Wisconsin Flute Festival on the campus of UW-Madison at the Pyle Center. It's an all-day event, and the culminating concert is going to feature Peter Sheridan as well as some students from UW and also the Madison Flute Club. This piece, the last piece that you're going to hear, is going to be one of the pieces featured on the concert, and I think it's one of a few pieces that have sub-contrabass flute on it. The sub-contrabass is larger than the contrabass. These instruments have really never been seen in Wisconsin before, and actually, to tie into that, the Madison Flute Club we've almost finished fundraising for our very first contrabass that we received from the Netherlands.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
So here it is, Peter Sheridan playing the solo sub-contrabass and The Giant Began to Dance, which is his own composition. Thank you. That's the sound of the sub-contrabass flute, Peter Sheridan playing his piece, and the giant began to dance, and I'm going to take a guess, Peter, that the giant refers to the sub-contrabass flute in this case.
That is correct, Norman, yes.
Very, very apt. We have with the Madison Flute Club here today in Music Hall, Alyssa Carnegie, who is actually the president. So I have one question for you before we go, and that is, let's say, I think I'm a great flutist. How do I get into the club?
Well, Norman, we actually welcome adult flutists who have even just as few as 2 or 3 years of playing experience. We actually don't require an audition.
Really? Isn't that dangerous?
Well, you know, so we actually, our group's mission is an educational one, and so we want to be able to provide a place for people to play who otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity. And so we've managed to make that work for us by having our large ensemble that has the, you know, 30 or so flute club members, and then we also have our chamber group, which works on some of the more advanced repertoire.
Well, great. And thanks one and all for coming and playing today here in Music Hall for the midday. And we'll look forward to hearing more. We'll get to the results of our quiz question after this performance by Lang Lang of the Grand Galop Chromatique by Franz Liszt.